May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Pray. Holy God, on this first Advent morning, you call us to hear again the ancient stories of you who have journeyed with us for even before the beginning. Transform us today and every day into people who are watching and waiting for you. Help us to be witnesses to and partners in your work in the world. In the name of the one who has walked this road before, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year. I wonder how you have celebrated New Year's in the past. Maybe not church New Year's, because those tend to go by under the radar. But what about calendar New Year's? Maybe you watched some fireworks or banged some pots and pans outside. Well, here in the church, you'd think that we would start the new year with trumpets of Easter Sunday or with fires of Pentecost. But instead, we begin here, where the days are short and the nights are getting longer. Today, as we enter the creeping darkness, we sing and pray anew for light, for God to return. In this Advent season, a season set apart, we meditate on hope, peace, joy, and love. Today is the day we begin to tell the Christian story, our story. Our gospel reading this morning is not the passage you typically think of when anticipating the most wonderful time of the year. In fact, one commentator suggests that to hear our reading as we have done this morning is the equivalent to someone throwing open a door, tossing a cup of cold water in your face, and then pulling you through, roughly. And this is how every Advent begins. We get a taste. We get to hear Jesus' words about the end of days. Those who studied the book of Revelation for our Thursday morning Bible study will recognize this apocalyptic type of writing. This morning we hear that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. It's ironic that just as we get started retelling the story, just as we're beginning this church year, we're given a glimpse of the very end. Artist and theologian Jan Richardson, one of my favorites, writes, "Jesus is not offering these images in order to scare the pants off people, but rather to assure his listeners that the healing of the world is at hand." This passage challenges us to give up our usual sources of illumination, to let go of our habitual ways of knowing, to question our typical habits of seeing, so that we can receive the God who comes to us in the darkness. Apocalyptic means to uncover or to reveal. And our reading this morning aims to pull back the curtain of false hopes, to reveal God's commitment to redeem our lives. Our readings this morning help us to stay grounded and centered in our daily lives so as not to be caught unawares when the end times come. And in the meantime, we are invited to keep watch, to stay awake, to participate in all the ways that God is bringing redemption and healing to creation. We are invited to enter into the season of Advent, the season of waiting. Now, maybe you are a better waiter than I am. Maybe you're one of those people that always has a book handy, or someone that just pulls out your knitting at the drop of a hat. You don't mind waiting. And you are a better person than me, because I find myself being impatient. And maybe much of society right now is like that. We don't wait well. We get annoyed. We wonder what's taking so long. In these dark days, if we light up our places and put up a tree, it's cheery. In these dark days, if we might find that we need the promise of a break from the darkness. But if we don't wait, if we're not patient, if we celebrate Christmas now, we will miss out on the opportunity to prepare ourselves to get ready. Now, it's true that God breaks into our lives as they are now, that God doesn't wait for our lives to resemble a Norman Rockwell painting. And thanks be to God for that. And yet, if we're not waiting, if we're not watching, we risk missing the glimpses of God in our lives. In the midst of the hustle and bustle of this season, we are so busy. We are run ragged. We want to get the cards done, get the photos taken, get the presents wrapped, get the food prepared. I see some smiles. It's not just me that is busy in this season. If we don't carve out some space for reflection, for contemplation, for prayer, if we don't carve out some space for God, we risk missing the season altogether. And so as we lit our first candle, the candle of hope on our Advent wreath, we are invited to stand alongside poet Mary Oliver. She says, "My work is mostly standing still and learning to be astonished." This waiting, Advent waiting, isn't the kind of thing you do off the side of your desk. It's not the kind of thing that a book or knitting will help with. Instead, it is active waiting. This season invites us to live as though God is already here, as though the reign of God has already come. Because God's kingdom is a participatory kingdom. And so it turns out that our acts of love and justice toward one another and toward creation matter. They matter profoundly. You know that old bumper sticker, maybe you've seen it, that says, "Jesus is coming, look busy." Well, if we were to put a bumper sticker on our cars that fits with the season of Advent, it would say, "Jesus is coming, keep awake." When asked what he would do if he knew he would die tomorrow, theologian Martin Luther famously said, "I'd plant an apple tree." If he knew he would not be around the next day, he would take action with the little time he had left and provide a better future for those who came after him. That's hope. And Jesus' words offer hope to the early church at a time when it seems that they have lost everything. Their identity, their community, their very future is fragile and endangered. This morning, the very words we heard were the words which allowed the early church to soldier on in the midst of confusion and chaos. Mark's gospel offers hope in the midst of catastrophe, and we will see that again and again this year as we follow that gospel. We are watching and waiting for God, who offers hope that can be counted on when all seems to be lost. This week, Julie and I were in Victoria for a diocesan clergy day. I arrived early and took some time to walk around the downtown core. As I passed a bus shelter, something caught my eye, and so I stopped and I backed myself up to see what it was. There were two sheets of paper taped onto the bus shelter wall in an area of town where folks of all descriptions congregate to laugh and to cry. On the paper, some photographs were printed, and then there was a handwritten caption at the bottom. And it said, "Hope is a choice. I am not hopeless. I hope you're not either. This is what it is all about." Hope is indeed what this season is all about. This season helps us to celebrate the Christ who has already come to us, even as we anticipate a time when God will return. Our readings tell us that somehow God is present, that God is at work even now in the darkness, in the rain, in the cold. One way to keep our eyes open to all of this, wrote the late author and biologist Rachel Carson, is to ask ourselves, what if I had never seen this before? Or, conversely, what if I knew that I would never experience this again? Keeping awake means to continue asking profound questions, questions that matter. And we're called even to go beyond that to act, living lives that matter in the midst of the questions. And so today and every day, we trust that even in the dark, even in the cold, God is at work. We hold on to the hope that we and all of creation are transformed every time we encounter God. This season, may we worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. And in our watching and waiting for God, may we witness the changing of the world. May we have a small part in that shift. And may we never be the same. Amen.